Genesis chapter 2 from verse 7 onwards. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. I'm going to skip these verses, and I'm going to go to verse 15. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made it into a woman, and he brought her. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." I want to stop right here, as the Holy Spirit wants me to. I'm going to take you back to verse 7, but before that, please pray this prayer after me. Lord, open my eyes to see your truth. Lord, open my ears to hear your truth. Lord, open my mind to receive your truth. Lord, open my heart to keep your truth. Let me be a doer of your word, and not a hearer only. Let me bring forth much fruit to the praise and glory of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak, Lord. I will listen and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I come against all the forces of darkness and every demonic spirit that is warring against this word from being given to your people. I bind them in Jesus' name. I take victory in Jesus' name. And I come against every foul spirit that is trying to take this word from the hearts, minds, and bodies of your people. I bind those demonic spirits in Jesus' name. I take victory in Jesus' name. And every unclean spirit that is trying to distract the thoughts of your people, every evil spirit that is giving tiredness, sleepiness, drowsiness, I curse those in Jesus' name. Every spirit of pain, I drive you out right now in Jesus' name. And every voice other than the voice of the Holy Spirit, I silence it right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of unbelief, I command you to leave God's people right now in Jesus' name. Every lying spirit, every manipulative spirit, I curse you in Jesus' name. Every evil spirit that is trying to drown the voice of the Holy Spirit and the word of God, I curse those in Jesus' name. Take victory in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I release the presence of the Almighty God in a special way upon your people, so that the word of God may germinate into their spirits and take root, bringing forth much fruit. Thank you, Father. And every resistance that is coming from the evil one, I silence it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let an undivided attention, the voice of the Holy Spirit, be given at this hour in Jesus' name. Let the voice of the Lord God Almighty dominate over every other voice, every other thought, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I thank you for doing this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So we will read from verse 7, and then I'm going to take you down further. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God created man in the Garden of Eden. God made him from the dust of the ground. He took him and he made him. He made man from the dust of the ground. And God did something very special inside of him, which was he put his life into Adam. God put his life into human beings. Because God put his life into human beings, man has this soul which will live forever just like God. And so God made this special being so that the special being can be just like him. So he breathed his breath into Adam to make him into a living being. Isn't that special? When you think about you having a soul, God made you so that you can be just like him. So you can live forever and ever and ever. So God put this special thing inside of you so that you can be that living soul to live, to really live, live life to the fullest. That's what God put the soul inside of you so that you can live. And what brings death to that soul? Sin. When sin comes in, it brings death to that soul. Just like a person who's living eats poison, what'll happen? When someone says, don't touch that, that's poison. If you're supposed to take one Tylenol, you're supposed to take only one Tylenol, right? See, if you say that, it's okay, one is the same as 50, and you take 50, what'll happen? You'll die. You can't say that these people are so bad, they put 50 Tylenols in there so that I can die. Will you say that? No. You're supposed to take one Tylenol, don't touch the rest. When you need it, you take one at a time. So God put that tree of knowledge of good and evil with a purpose. He had a purpose for it. Man didn't. And the Lord said, touch all the other things, enjoy that. Just don't touch this. The day you touch it, what will happen? You will die. If you take what you're not supposed to take, you will die. If you touch the fire, your hand is going to get burnt. If you drink poison, you will die. Is that a bad thing? Warnings are for good or for bad? It's for good. Warnings are necessary so that we don't get hurt. And so God, out of his love, he told man, you know what? Don't go near that. That's not your zone. Don't go near that. You know, have you seen the electrical circuit in electricity places where they'll say, danger, do not go there. You know who can go in there? Only permitted, licensed authorities who know what they're doing can go in there. We can't just say, I just want to go and hang in there. And you know, you can't do that because it will produce death. But can we say that that's not fair? They are allowed to go when I can't go. I'm also a human being. He's a man and I'm a man, or she's a woman, I'm a woman. Why can't we just go? No, because they can, they are protected. We cannot because we are not protected. This is not for us. That area is not for us. We have the whole world. And God gave the whole world to Adam and Eve, and he said that this is all for you. So when people ask you this question, or even you yourself may think, why did God put that tree in the middle? And if that tree wasn't there, and this wouldn't have happened. And this is not for you. God put it there for a purpose. God had a purpose for it. But when he says don't go near it, it's out of love. He says don't touch it. If you take more, what will happen? You will die. If you touch this, you will die. It was a warning that was given out of love by God. So death was not God's plan. God never planned a soul to die, or God never planned a body to die. God created human beings so that they can be like God and live like God. And what a good God we have. He didn't say, I'm God and I want you to be like little less somewhere. No, he said, I want you to be just like me. And he created man in his very own image. And he breathed this very own breath into him out of love so that he wanted man to be just like him. This is what God does to us when we are dead in sins. When a soul is dead in sins, he comes and he breathes his life into us. When he breathes his life into us, all of a sudden, we receive the life of God. And we have this connection with God. Not only that, there's this new image that comes on the inside. And you know what image that is? That's the image of Jesus. It's no more the old, tarnished, dead person. There's this resurrection work of God that takes place. Because when a man sins, he dies. When a woman sins, she dies. So the soul inside is dead. We are just bodies with death on the inside. But Jesus comes and he breathes his life into us. And all of a sudden we become living people. There's life all of a sudden. When that life comes into us, it is for a purpose. God just didn't breathe into Adam and say, well, you look very handsome and you look very pretty, Eve. Just stay there and just sit there and admire the nature. No, he gave them authority. He gave them power. And we see how God created these beautiful rivers and he put them in there. And he told Adam, take care of all these things. And he gave Adam this responsibility. You know, it's not like something, oh, I got to dig and dig and dig and dig. I got to clean and clean. No, it's like a beautiful thing that gave him fulfillment. He's looking at these animals and he's naming these animals. And, you know, he's tending to these gardens. He's just experiencing such joy. When God gives us a job to do, it'll give us great pleasure. It'll give us great joy. It'll give us great fulfillment. And it gives us that power from God to dominate our surroundings. We are called to dominate that which tries to dominate us. Not to be brought under, but to be over. To be over that very thing. And so God made these things and he brought it before Adam. And God said, Adam, name all these things. And you know, Adam, because he was created in the image of God, he had this love that came from God. He loved animals and he named each and every animal because he loved them. And out of love, he is naming all these things. It was such a beautiful relationship that God gave to man with the animals that he has created. Now with all the animals that was there, he was all happy, but there was something that was missing still. And we see that in the verse below, where he did all these things and he was happy, but he was not fulfilled. He had everything. And then the Bible says here, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to Adam. And why did he do this? We see here verse 20. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to Adam. God is speaking to our hearts today. During worship, when I was finishing the worship, when God gave this verse, I very well knew that I am not doing a wedding here. So for God to give this scripture here, there is this work of God that God wants to do in our midst. And the Spirit of God is speaking to us at this hour. With this in mind, with God breathing his breath into our souls, making us into living creatures, and then God giving us this capacity to do things for him, God says, I want to do more for you because I know you're not fulfilled on the inside fully. You know when that fulfillment will come on the inside? That which has to take place inside of you, takes place inside of you, then you know that you are fulfilled. Something was missing inside Adam, and which was the companion that God had to bring for him was missing inside, which was a fulfillment of the call of God that God had for him to serve the living God. Now here, for our purposes, the Spirit of God is bringing to us that with the work of God that God has done in our lives, as a work of salvation, the Lord says, with that, I have blessed you with a job, or I blessed you with this, I blessed you with that. But there's this one ultimate thing that is missing on the inside. That ultimate thing is the peace that needs to be there so that you can feel that fulfillment of why God made you to begin with in the first place. And this vacancy that is in the midst of all of these things, God says, I have blessed you with all these things, but I'm here to fill that void. God is speaking to our hearts today. I'm here to fill that void. And the Lord says that void is called the call of God. If we don't recognize that call of God, that void, we can be doing all kinds of things, but it's missing. It's missing. It's missing. It's missing. And the Lord says, I see that void. I see that void. The call of God that must be fulfilled, which has been put inside of us, which needs to be satisfied by the Creator by bringing that to us. God says, I will bring that to you. And this is a season God is bringing us into as a church. And so, with Adam, God put him to sleep. Verse 21 says, it's very important. 21 is very important. 22 is very important for our meditation today. And we need to really let the Spirit of God take this deep into our spirits. Verse 21 says, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. This talks about the call of God that God has for God's people, which God has placed inside, but there's this vacancy there. God brings that to his people. When the Lord brings that to his people, it is going to be a replica of what God has done inside of you. God is speaking to your hearts today. After God formed Adam, after God gave him a job to do, then God is forming something from him and through him and brought it to him. God is speaking at this hour. God formed Adam, and then from Adam, God made something. Through Adam, God made something, and he brought that to him. And God is speaking to us, and this is called the ministry that will come from the hands of the living God, that God will bring to you as God forms you, as God makes you, as God molds you, as God breathes into you and fills you with his power. You know what God will do? He will put you in that place of rest. Where you know how to operate from the place of rest. Where does that sleep come from? It comes from God. We don't say like, I'm going to try to force my eyes and I'm going to try to close and sleep. And I'm trying to sleep, but I'm not able to sleep. My head is spinning. No. When he puts that sleep upon you, there's this peace that is there, complete peace. When the total peace comes upon you, then the operation of God takes place. When the working of God takes place, you see that he opened that rib and he took that rib out, and God didn't just leave it open. He closed it. And with what God took, he formed something else. You call that sacrifice. When we offer up that which God asks us to, from a place of rest, God takes that and he forms something very unique and special, which comes from within us. And he brings it to us. You know, when he brings it us, you know how when we look at it, we'll say, oh my God, this is what I was waiting for. This is what I was waiting for. It gives us that ultimate satisfaction that comes from the living God. God is speaking to our hearts today. That which God would bring to us will come from within us, from what we give to God. That which is taken from us. But it's never like it's taken and now I'm missing out. And, you know, I don't know how many men feel like every time they walk, they feel something missing on the inside. No. Because God so perfectly closed it. That's what God does. When there's a subtraction, when God subtracts something from you, it's never like he subtracts something and then it's gone forever. You feel like something missing over here and the rest of the parts are dangling. No. When he takes something from you, he replaces that. It is for God to make something big out of that which God has taken from your hands. See, that's the beauty of it. A lot of times people think, oh, if I come to God and if I give this, then what will happen? Everything will be gone. No. When you give everything to God, that everything will become something huge that will come and stand before you. And you'll say, oh my God, in exchange for that one rib, what has come in front of me? Look at that. A companion, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Where did that come from? One bone. Rest is the work of God. What we give to God, our sacrifice that God takes from us, is just this much. Then the addition that comes from God on that is this much. So what are we going to do with it? Are we going to value that which we have to give, which is going to come back as a huge return, which is going to give us that contentment that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away, which will shockingly surprise us in a beautiful way? Because there is something this big. But it could have been, oh, my rib. It is my rib. But when God says, give that rib, I'm going to bring something far more with that. You won't even feel that it's gone. Because God closes it so beautifully. God brings that which is exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. Praise be to God. Now with this, there's a prophecy that comes to our church for the single people here, that God in his time will bring to you that which God has for you. Exactly in his time, God will bring, which will cause your heart to overwhelm and overflow with the goodness of God. One will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. And God will cause it to happen in his glorious time when we yield ourselves to God and say, take my rib and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, so that that Eve may come. Right? It's so important. Whatever we give to God, we say, Lord, take it all, take it all, take it all, take it all. And bringing Eve is God's business. We can't do anything. How many of you can think that you can take a rib and make something out of it? No. But it is God's power that takes something so small. But you know, it's so valuable because it is from you. What you lay down at the altar is exceedingly precious to God. And he takes that and he makes it into something big. Guess what? That which he even takes it from us, if it belongs to him because it came from him to begin with. He is the one who gave it. So from the whole body that he gave, a little rib from here to give back to the Lord. And God makes it so beautiful and you don't even feel what was taken at the same time. You get something far more exceedingly, wonderfully big before you. God is speaking to our hearts at this hour. Whether you're single or whether you're married, whatever your plans may be, one thing I would tell you, if you want God to do something big in your life, that rib that you have to give is your purity. You need to be a pure person. You need to be a holy person. You just give that to God and God will take that and he will just make a super glorious thing before you. And he'll say, look, I'm going to bring it. Look what I've brought before you. Look what I'm giving to you. He takes that and he makes that into something substantial, something big, something glorious, something wonderful. In order for God to take you into that fertile ground, God will say, you know what? Just throw out your dirty bags. And if you have a bag with old stinking socks and smelly shoes, you don't want to take that and go into a nice place. You don't want to. And I know whoever is inviting you will not want you to bring that inside. The old has to be gone. The old has to be gone. Whatever is causing that foul odor, God says, just get rid of that. It's stinking you up and it'll stink up others. Just throw that out. Once you get rid of that, you know what will happen? Newness will come. Newness will come. And God says, in order for God to use you powerfully, that which God requires from you is purity. Purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. And when we give ourselves over to God and say, Lord, take this part of my being. I give it to you. God takes that. And God says, look what I'm going to bring before you. God is going to bring something substantial for every single one here. And that substantial thing is going to be when he brings it before you're going to say, oh, Lord, unbelievable. This is who God is. Oh, we need to have that excitement. You know, during worship, as I was leading worship, I saw this every step as the Holy Spirit was showing. The Lord said, with that power of God that comes upon us, we just charge into the camp of the enemy with like full force. You know why? The power of God. It's like this tsunami that comes in suddenly. Suddenly. You know, like how a storm brews and a tsunami brews before it can just come up. That's the work God is doing now in his people right here. He's just building up, building up, building up, building up. And before you know, we'll just go in full force. And God will do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. For Adam, it took one rib. For you, God says, whatever God is touching the core of your being. For each person, it's a different thing. But whatever it may be, when you give it to God, and you rest when you give it to God, not like kicking and screaming, take it, Lord, take it, Lord, take it, Lord, take it, Lord, take it. But you just give it to God in a state of rest and in a state of peace. God will do something that making, cooking, baking, building, creating, He does it. He's the master designer. And He loves us so much, He's all good. He knows what we like, He knows what we don't like, and He knows what we need, and He knows what will bring us joy. He's the good Father. And He knows what will fulfill us on the deepest parts of our being. And He will bring to us. Adam didn't even have to ask God. He just had to lie down there. He did what God told him to do. What did God tell him to do? Just name these animals. He did that. He named the animals, and God did what He had to do and bring that Eve to Him. Whatever God is telling you to do now, you do that. And what God wants to do for you, exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine, He will do it. In the meantime, what rib He is taking from you, give it up to God. And God will form something unique, something special, something you can see, something you can feel, something you can rejoice in God and glorify Him for His great love and for His great power in your life. Shall we all stand up together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Ora bastamba bashira bastanda la bakora bashira bastanda la barashira bare hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost in fire that is keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost in fire that is keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire that is keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire that is keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire that is keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire that is keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. One more time, hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost and fire that is keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire that is keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost and fire that is keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire that is keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Father, thank you for this word that you've given to us, Lord. Thank you for breathing your living breath into us, hallelujah, and making us alive in you, hallelujah. It's your breath that is keeping us alive, hallelujah. Oh, I feel it in my fingers and I feel it in my toes. Oh, He's keeping me alive. He's keeping me alive. Oh, I feel it in my fingers and I feel it in my toes.
Jesus is keeping me alive. I feel His life in my fingers. I feel His life in my toes. Hallelujah. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's the breath of the Almighty God that God breathed into us. Hallelujah. Brought us alive. Hallelujah. Oh, raised us from the dead. Hallelujah. And He has put us here. And He says, I've given you these things to do. Just do it. When you do it, I will come and I will visit you and I will do something substantial inside of you and I will bring to you that which, oh, will shockingly surprise you. Hallelujah. Oh, that will cause your heart to gladden. Hallelujah. And the Lord says, I will bring to you. Hallelujah. And whatever God takes from you, it is for something far more glorious. Hallelujah. Oh, give it up to Jesus. Whatever Jesus says, lay it down at the altar. Lay it down at the altar. Hallelujah. For Adam, it was his rib. Whatever, one rib, just one rib. Hallelujah. Brought this beautiful Eve to him. Hallelujah. Oh, who was his companion for the rest of his life. God says, whatever God is asking you, whatever God is touching you, God says, you release it to God, you give it to God. Hallelujah. And God will do something glorious with that. Hallelujah. God will do a mighty work in you and through you. Hallelujah. And that which God produces before you will gladden your heart. Hallelujah. It'll gladden your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Take a few minutes in the presence of God and tell the Lord, Lord, I will lay this before you. Hallelujah. Whatever the Spirit of God is bringing before you, oh, give it to the Lord God Almighty. Holiness, being pure before God, oh, will cause you to go to greater heights. Hallelujah. Will cause you to experience greater satisfaction, greater joy. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Tell the Holy Spirit, Lord, I give my all to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I give my everything, Father. I just submit myself. I yield the members of my body to you at this time. Hallelujah. Whatever you want to take it, Lord. Hallelujah. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Let's sing it together one more time. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise, let them flow in endless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee, filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and you. shalt choose every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer my yes. Take my heart, it is thine own. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only Lord for thee.
Thank you, Lord, for this time of visitation where you visited us in a special way. We thank you, Father, for what you have done in our midst, Lord, and we take that which you've given to us and we offer it back to you, Father. Lord, take it, multiply it, Father, and do whatever you want to do and bring it to us, Lord. We want to receive every big thing that you have for us, Lord. And in order for that big thing to happen, every little thing we must give up, we gladly give it up, Father. Hallelujah. Whatever you ask from us, we give it up, Father. Because you're going to take that and you're going to make something big out of that, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So I pray that you'll continue to work this word in the hearts of your people. That they may become wise stewards, Lord. That they may invest that which they have, Father. That which you're asking from them. That they may give it into your hands so that you can take that and multiply that and give it back to them, Father. So I pray, Lord, whatever you are speaking to them about, may your people gladly surrender that to the living God. Hallelujah. That you may do wonders in their lives. Oh, Father, as your servant standing in the presence of God, before the throne of God, according to the power and authority given to me by the Almighty God, I bless you, people, with this blessing that comes from the hands of the living God, that each may have eyes to see that which God has for them, ears to hear that which God has spoken to them, and hearts that would yield to the voice of the Holy Spirit, that they may lay that which you call them to lay at the altar. They may receive the big surprise that you have for them, Father. I thank you for doing this. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen. And as a church, Lord, we commit this month of April into your hands.
Yes, Lord.
Every day of this month, we commit into your hands. Every conversation, every phone calls, every text messages, every transaction, every correspondence. Lord, everything that we must do, our going out, our coming in, our sitting down, our rising up, our finances, Lord, our family situations, we give them all into your hands. Our job situation, everything, we give that into your hands, O Lord. And I ask you, Abba, that you will bless us. Bless this month for us. As you have spoken good things for us, Lord. May each one of us keep us in the will of God. that we may have many, many, many testimonies in this month of April. I thank you for doing this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest and remain with us all now and until we see Jesus face to face. Amen.